The questions that arise out of Hebrews are these. Why is faith so important? Why is it so difficult? Why does God require it? And how am I living out faithfulness? On Friday, I was sitting on my deck in the sunshine with commentaries scattered all around me, thinking about faith and faithfulness. And I was expecting my two sons to come for supper. And one of my sons arrived without me knowing and appeared on the deck. And the tears were flowing down my face because I was overwhelmed with God's faithfulness in my life. And I was reflecting on my 61 years and how God has been there during my pilgrimage, been there through some difficult times. But I would say with such certainty that God has been faithful. And so what remains at this stage is faithfulness. And what remains for you, whether you're 18 or 81, is your faithfulness. And you will be gathered up and poured through a sieve. And the only thing, according to Hebrews 1-3, that will matter is what's left in the sieve. And it will be your faith. Because Hebrews says really the whole purpose of life is to demonstrate that you trust God. And if you're not convinced, look what it says about the ancients of the faith, the elders of the faith, the forefathers. They believed God, and it was reckoned unto them as righteousness. Their faith was incredibly powerful, and it was the thing that God took note of. And at the end of your life, it will be the thing that God takes note of in your life. How much did you trust him? But I have good news for you today, and that is that you will not have the same yardstick used for different people. There'll be different yardsticks for different people. And so you may think, well, I have so little faith, I worry about so much in life. I fret, I become obsessive, it's very difficult for me to trust, I don't seem to have too much evidence of the ways in which I've actually trusted, I take control of so much of my life and have a hard time letting go of control. But when God looks at you, he says, well, now, where did you begin? What was your baseline? You see, I think when he looks at me, he will say, well, I know your mother was a very anxious person. And I know that she didn't trust. And therefore, your baseline for trusting is way back there. And somebody else who grew up in a family where trust was just a given. Everybody trusts everybody else, and you have faith that when people say they're going to do something, they'll do it. Then so much more is expected of you in terms of faith. So would you please, today, not compare yourself in terms of how much faith you have with somebody else. But I do want you to compare it with how much faith you had last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Is there movement? And if not, take note, because God is wanting to speak to you this morning. We'll speak more about the obstacles to faith, which I've already launched into. Why is faith so important? Well, it's easy to say simply because God said it was, and we've already read that in Hebrews, so I won't reiterate that. And it's easy to say, well, all the examples we get in Hebrews 11 demonstrate that the great patriarchs, prophets, martyrs of the Christian faith all demonstrated extraordinary faith. So it's important. But here's a third reason. What would it be like to live life without having the requirement to have faith in God? Well, what would that leave you to do with your life? It would leave you, I suggest, to have faith instead of in God. You would have to have faith in yourself. And can I suggest that that would be a very pitiful way to live life? Unless somebody is here who is 100% trustworthy, who is perfect in every way, who always does what they say they will do, whose standards for other people are the same as their standards for themselves, that you condemn somebody. Isn't it so often I condemn somebody's behavior, and it seems like 30 seconds later, I do the same thing. It's unreal. It's almost to say, I knew that I was about to do this thing, and so therefore I'm criticizing someone else who's doing it. I can only say for myself, it would be the most appalling way to live, to spend my days convincing myself and my family and the world of what a wonderful person I am. Well, my family would never get that anyway. I mean, they know. But I've got a few people fooled. But that's the alternative to faith in God. It's faith in you. And I want to suggest to you, it is pitiful and futile. And God knew he couldn't leave you to yourself. He couldn't leave you to spend your days affirming yourself and valuing yourself and communicating to the whole world of what a wonderful person you are. And so he said, your health and well-being will be as you affirm faith in me. And you look to the things that are yet to come and are convinced that God is going to bring about his kingdom purposes. And you are certain about God's faithfulness rather than being certain about your faithfulness. It's a better choice. And so now, spend your time trusting in God's faithfulness and living out life, convinced that God is going to answer what he says he's going to answer, and trusting that God is going to do those things. I can say at this point of my life, in my 60s, that the little bits of faith I've had along the way, which enabled me to live in a Christian community that was a faith venture, that we trusted God for our survival. I'm so glad that I had that privileged experience, even though there were some days when we spent an hour discussing whether we could afford to buy a can of paint. That's how small the faith was. Could we trust that God would bring in what we needed to pay the bills as we were serving him in a retreat center? And then one day, we were in the middle of a big building program, and a little lady, I knew her to be a retired church secretary. And knowing how much we paid church secretaries, I deemed she was not well endowed. And she asked me, how much would it cost to finish the buildings that we were currently working on, the building? And I said, well, I think it's about 70,000 we need now to finish this. And this was 25 years ago. And a few moments later, she said, I want to make a donation. And I thought, this is lovely, isn't it? So sweet, you know. It'll be another $10 donation. And she wrote a check for 70,000. And 25 years ago, that would have been, what, I don't know, $250,000. And I came home to Julie and said, you'll never believe what's just happened. And Julie said, Trevor, have you not heard of Illusions of Grandeur? And so I couldn't wait to get to the bank. And I came home and said, have you ever heard of faith and God's provision? We took it in turns to doubt God's provision. So I'm grateful that God has given me those moments to give away a house, to give away a car, a guitar, a motorcycle. And I can say, as I sit on my deck, God's faithfulness to me is overwhelming. I cannot outgive God. I've tried a few times. I've thought, wow, this is real faith. And he smiles at me and says, you haven't begun. You haven't begun. Why is faith so difficult? I guess I've already hinted at that. It is because we are human beings that have had a journey where the human experience of faith, what word would we use for the human experience of faith? We usually apply faith to the divine relationship and the word trust to human relationships, but really it's the same basic thing. And the difficulty is that human beings are an integral being whereby the human and the divine are linked. The apparatus we use to trust God is the apparatus we use to trust people. And therefore, if your trust has been broken in your human journey, you will find it extraordinarily difficult to trust God who you do not see. I was with a man recently. It's a long story, but basically I had the opportunity to witness to a rat catcher. And in witnessing to this man who had a hard time catching rats in my house, but that's another story. I said to him, you know, I think you need to come for supper. Because out of the blue, he said to me, I find it very difficult to trust God. I thought, oh, goodness, no, not in the middle of me doing my drywall trying to finish this job. I can't deal with this now. And so reluctantly, I said to the guy, look, come for supper on Tuesday and we'll talk about God. You know, keep the religious stuff on Tuesday and I'll do the building stuff today. So he came for supper. And he shared his life, incredibly difficult life, around his father had never done what he said he was going to do. He was not dependable. His life had been extremely difficult. And here's his story, his human story here. And he says to me, but I don't understand why I can't trust God. And I'm looking at the picture saying, don't you see why? And I simply fed back to him that his human experience was bleeding into his Christian experiences. The Imago Dei, the image of God, and the image of Father were one. And so I suggested to him that perhaps he could accept that he couldn't trust his father, but realize that perhaps God was different than his father. And it was the most glorious thing to hear this man say, oh my goodness, do you think that could be true? Is that why I've had such difficulty trusting God? Well, maybe. It's my hunch, is the best I can do. And so you see, here's a man who now separates out the human experience and the divine and says, okay, well now, maybe God's not like my father. Well, that's a really good place to begin in terms of many of us. And so his journey of faith can begin because he now accepts his humanity. Why does Hebrews 1-3 give us so many human examples of people who have trusted God? It's because of our humanity. If I can say, well, Daniel did this and survived, he had this much faith, which got him in that much trouble, and God looked after Daniel in the lion's den, then maybe as a human being, it's possible to do that, to risk yourself. Maybe when Abraham sacrifices on the altar the very thing he loves as a gift to God, Isaac, and God answers and Abraham's faith in God grows, then maybe I can do the same thing as a human being. It's the telling of the human story that encourages the faith of a human being to trust God. Ah, but here's the other problem. What do we have faith in God for? Well, I'm trusting God for a new motorcycle. You know, I really like my Honda 650. Why should I do? I really do. But it would be nice to have a 950. Maybe God would like to give me a 950. Maybe it'll arrive as a gift. I've got faith that God can do that. That's misguided faith. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God promises a Honda 950. Even though David rode through the land in triumph. That's an old British joke, but it doesn't work here very well. Triumph motorcycles are history. Ancient history for some of us. But I think I can have faith to pray for your healing because Scripture expressly invites me to have faith. In the prayer of James 4, gather the elders together and pray for the sick that they may be healed. I think I can have faith to pray for your fear and anxiety because Philippians 4:4-6 expressly talks about the freedom from fear and anxiety. I think I can pray for your need for food and clothing because Matthew 6 gives us lots of evidence that God is concerned about those human needs. I think I can pray in faith for the kingdom of God to come because Scripture is all about that. So what are you praying for? You know, I've seen people believe God for a spouse and been terribly upset when God didn't deliver on the time frame that they had prayed. I think one needs to be very careful about what one has faith for. Well, it is that time that I have to wind up. If you have the faith to offer the widow's mite today, God sees it. He sees that little offering, but he knows the yardstick that dear woman probably spent days agonizing over whether she could afford to give her mite. She was fearful over what it might mean for her future security and safety. And I suggest that that was not a light thing, and that the evidence of her faith wasn't there for the rest of the world to see, because they would have dismissed it as a tiny gift, a small act of faith. And God sees your faith. God sees your courage. He knows your heart, and he invites you to continue to trust him, so that at the end of your days, your faith may be reckoned unto you as righteousness, and you may have a testimony to those around you, that they might say of you, they trusted God. Amen.